Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to Mom Talk Radio. We are in, and I hate to say this, but I guess I'm happy to say this and thankful to say this. We are in the 21st year of Mom Talk Radio. 21 years. I've been coming into your home. And first I came into your car. Then I came into your home. Now I went in. Then I came into your computer. Now you can take me wherever you want because we have an app and you can listen on your iPhone. You can listen wherever you go with your wireless device. You can take Mom Talk with you. And boy, haven't we progressed. I'd like to say that I got younger in those 21 years, but unfortunately I haven't. And my kids have gotten older. Actually, today I have four kids and a daughter-in-law. And I have every single one of them, except for one, sleeping in my house tonight, which is, boom, a great day. And Santa Claus is actually coming today to our house since we're all together. So Christmas a little late, but Christmas can happen anytime when you have your kids around you. So I hope your New Year's has started off to a great start. What's your New Year's resolution? Are you one of those people that wants to change something, be a new you, maybe pick a word? My word, that's what I did this year. I don't, you know, really need to lose weight or, you know, I guess I could improve on some things in my life, but I decided to pick a word, and my word is completion. I intend to complete things. So it's completion as in completing all of the hurricane damage repairs that need to be done to my house. More completely immersing myself into my religion, completing an education course. So it's all about completion for me in 2018. And I hope for you, it is whatever you intend it to be, because intention is such a really, really big thing. And during this next 48 minutes, we're going to complete a Mom Talk Radio with some completely great content for you. We have James Patterson, who holds the Guinness World Book of Record for the most number one bestsellers, including Middle School, iFunny, and Jackie Ha Ha, and his books have sold over 350 million copies, and he is here today. I am so excited about this because I read so many of his books. And so we just got a really great show for you that we're going to complete today. And I want to also completely express my thanks to Pre-Mama, which is a sponsor of Mom Talk Radio. You can get all your prenatal vitamins and supplements from Pre-Mama. You can drink them instead of swallowing those big horse pills, and you can go online to drinkpremama.com to find your closest retailer. So when we return, we're going to be speaking with the one, the only, James Patterson.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am super excited to start off the new year with James Patterson. He holds the Guinness World Record for the most number one New York bestsellers. And those include Middle School, iFunny, and Jackie Ha Ha. And his books have sold over 350 million copies worldwide. Can you imagine that? He is a champion of the power of books and reading, and he created a children's book imprint, Jimmy Patterson, whose mission is simple. We want every kid who finishes a Jimmy book to say, "Give me another book." Just like their parents say, "Give me another James Patterson book." I'm delighted to have with us today James Patterson. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. It's terrific.
So I am just curious, whether it's an adult book or a child's book, How do you constantly come up with new material and new ideas? Where do you find this inspiration?
I just have a lot of ideas, and I'm always adding to my – I have a big stack of papers in my office with the clever title, Ideas, on it. And there are, I bet, 1,000 pages of ideas in there, and I keep adding. And, you know, when it comes time for a new book, I'll go through the list, and I'll say, oh, here's one I think I want to write now. And, you know, one of the latest, I did it with my wife, Big Words for Little Geniuses, which is kind of a very unusual alphabet book. A lot of books for little kids, they kind of, I mean, and it's okay up to a point, but they dumb down a little bit. They act like kids are not as bright as they are. Kids are bright. Uh-huh. Little kids are bright. They just don't have all the knowledge yet. But this is an alphabet book with a whole different kind of, because they're big words. Uh-huh. And when I say little geniuses, it's not just little geniuses it's little geniuses in the sense that I think all of our kids have the potential to be pretty smart. We just have to kind of treat them that way. So that's what this book does, Big Words for Little Geniuses.
And Big Words for Little Geniuses, what is the age for that?
I would say it's, you know, 2 to 6. 2 to 5, somewhere in there. I mean, we've had, obviously, a lot of people over Christmas got the book for their kids, and parents have fun with it, you know. I mean, I don't want to create a kerfuffle here, which is a fuss or a commotion, but I'm kind of a bibliomaniac, that's our B word, and I'm a bit of a flibber to gibbet, which is a kind of a flighty or chattery person. So, and every letter has a, you know, an unusual word, like the word for A, and there are some words that are fun in terms of, I can't even pronounce the word with A, and that's part of the fun, because the adults have trouble pronouncing the words, but it's a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth.
Really?
It's a fun idea for kids to mess around with. Yeah.
Okay, and so where did you find these words?
News, some of them, and then some of them, you know, my wife and I, we just searched, and we kept coming, like tuchus is one, because that's buttocks, which kids love that word, of course, anything like that.
So let me ask you, writing your
book. My wife and I are going to get divorced now because of writing the book together.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How difficult was it to write a book with your wife? Because you've written so many books on your own. So
I've written with other people before. No, it was terrific. It was terrific. And we're going to do another in this series, and we're working on that now. And no, we get along great anyway. We don't really fight very much, and you know, kind of never about with the book.
So does she read, does she, throughout the years, has she read your books before they're published?
She reads a lot of them, yeah. Uh-huh. And she'll give me your thoughts, you know, it wasn't as fast paced, or I wasn't as involved as I'd like to be, things like that. And then I'll go back and do a little rewriting.
Is the audience, because there's a lot of really great fans of your children's books, are you finding that it's the grandparents who have read your adult books giving the books, and the millennial moms who grew up reading your adult books?
No, I think it's a lot of people now. And you know, we do a lot of charity stuff out there. We give a lot of books away. Mm-hmm. We have scholarships for teachers in, I think, 31 universities now, you know, University of Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Manhattan College, you know, Howard. And the word has gotten out. And we work with Scholastic, and we have this year we gave away like $2 million for classroom libraries. You know, for teachers, so that they didn't have to go out and spend their own money. So, you know, the word is kind of out there that I really am, you know, so passionate about getting kids to reading, because it's so important, you know, because if kids don't get reading, if they're very bright, and they'll probably become, you know, pretty good readers, but if they don't read broadly, they'll never, you know, reach their full potential. And for a lot of at-risk kids, if they don't become competent readers, boy, it's really hard for them to do well in life. So that's
absolutely
a big thing. It's a really big thing we're doing. You know, and in Florida, we're actually working with the University of Florida now, because the percentage of kids reading at grade level is 43% here, which is kind of low. And we're working on a program that'll get it up over 85%, which would be really great.
Right, right. So your children's books, are you writing them simultaneously when you're also writing
sure.
an adult book?
Yep. Wow. Always doing it. Yep.
And how do you switch back and forth mentally?
I don't have any trouble. The child in me is still pretty lively. I mean, that's my
wow.
big strength is imagination. I just have a gazillion ideas. So I've never had an issue with that.
Wow, that's amazing.
Back and forth and yeah. Well, whatever it is, it's some.
Well, no, it is amazing. And I have to just say, since this is mom talk, I do want to say that I got through my pregnancy reading your books. I devoured them when I had to keep my feet up and, not be around a lot, walking around. My husband just fed me your books and it got me through my pregnancy. I think Along Came a Spider is one of my absolutely favorite all-time books. So
thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you.
The kids' books are so important. I mean, that's really my passion is the kids' books because we just have to get them reading. And we have a 19-year-old, but I mean, and I started writing the kids' books when he was 6 or 7. Because I was really so into getting him reading and making a big reader out of him. And sometimes, you need to have a little bit of tough love. When Jack was 6 or 7 or so, he wasn't a big reader. And that summer, Sue and I said, you're going to read every day. And he said, do I have to? And we said, yeah, unless you don't live in the garage.
But
we're going to go out and get you cool books. So we went out, and between the libraries and the bookstores, we got him about a dozen books, ranging from Wrinkle in Time to Percy Jackson
Fortunately for us, you have given our children a lot of really great books. And I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your day with us. Big Words for Little Geniuses. It is James Patterson and Susan Patterson together. And it's a beautiful book. Check it out. We have a link on Mom Talk Radio and one. And you can pick it up on Amazon as well. And when we return, we've got the spotlight on one mom who is the toy queen.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
We're going to turn our attention and our spotlight today on one mom who, I'm telling you, I've followed this woman for a very long time. She is known online as the Toy Queen. Toyqueen.com is her blog, and you can follow her on Twitter at Toy Queen. She's the mom of a 7-year-old, very busy as she's juggling her career and a child, and her name is Carrie Ann Wilmot. She is here on Mom Talk Radio to share a little bit of her wisdom, and I'm excited to have her here. So welcome, Carrie Ann.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks for having me.
How did you decide that toys was going to be your focus when you started to create your business and think about what you wanted to write about?
So I'm a pediatric occupational therapist by trade. So every single day I go to work and I teach kids with developmental disabilities how to improve their motor skills through play. So toys kind of just sort of ended up being part of my daily work. And over time, after several years, you just start to kind of, as a therapist, build this catalog and closet full of things that you know that kids love. And I think the irony for me is that, I always thought I wanted to work with toys. I'd reached out to toy companies and asked if I could be part of focus groups or do, reviews for them really early on, maybe 17 years ago. And it just wasn't anything that companies were into then. And so my husband actually was one of the people who sort of had gotten into social media and was learning about YouTube pretty early on and said, you seem to have this knack for making recommendations for kids, families. Our friends are calling and asking. This was even before my son was born. And he's like, I think we should, start a website. Let's do some product reviews. And we can help all parents find toys and experiences that can help their kids learn, and not just kids that have disabilities. So for me, it wasn't even necessarily me. It was somebody else kind of thinking outside the box and recognizing what kind of a talent or an eye for things that I had and pushed me towards really kind of sharing that focus online.
You know, there's a lot of talk right now about fidget toys. But beyond that, what kind of toys were you using in your occupational therapist profession?
Honestly, anything. You know, it basically kind of comes down to what motivates the child. You know, a lot of parents will say, what's the best toy out there? And I can't, usually that to me is like, okay, well, how old are they? And what are they interested in? And which, you know, kind of trying to figure out what is motivating to that particular child. Because, you know, it could be a toy that you buy on the shelf in a toy store. It could be, you know, something you find in your kitchen drawer, you know, kit for, you know, like a pot or a pan. You know, kids are just motivated by play, and what they're motivated by is very different from one to another. So certainly anything in a toy store is fair game. There's lots of specialty toy catalogs, lots of specialty toy retailers. But it really, for me, is about finding out what each individual child is interested in just by asking parents questions and watching them play.
What is the deal with the retro toys coming back? What's the appeal there?
I think it's, you know, the retro toys, people have this feel good feeling. You know, I think we all can think back to a couple of things that we had as kids that has that story. I mean, for me, it was, you know, the story about my mom waiting in line, you know, to get the phone call from Bradley's that the Cabbage Patch Kids were on the truck out back. And I think a lot of companies are finding that they're basically reimagining what we all loved as kids and trying to, now that we have better technology, find ways to reach a new generation of kids with something that, you know, was familiar to their parents.
Yeah, it's just so much fun as a mom when you get to play things like Hi-Ho Cheerio or Light Bright, and your kids actually like it as well.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today. I want to make sure that we tell everybody where they can find you. You're at toyqueen.com. I got to tell you, you got to check out the site. Even though the holidays have passed, you know, your children probably got some toys that you aren't really sure how to play with or get the most out of, and Carrie Ann is the expert. So you want to check out toyqueen.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at toyqueen. Thank you so much, Carrie Ann, for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to the author of Maternally Challenged: How My Special Needs Son Taught Me to Sack Up and Laugh. And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to have with us today Kathy Klon. She's the author of Maternally Challenged: How My Special Needs Son Taught Me to Sack Up and Laugh, and the writer behind the popular website Unfiltered Mom. She is one funny lady who tells it as it is, and we're delighted to have Kathy with us today on Mom Talk Radio. So, hi, Kathy.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Fantastic. So, what was your New Year's? Do you make a resolution, pick a word, do something? What's your thing?
Yes, I pick a word, determination. I'm going to be more determined today to reach more goals that I set for myself.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's see if I do it, Maria.
Well, you know, I was telling everybody at the beginning of the show that my word is completion, because there's just, like, I'm not really good at paperwork.
Me either.
And I'm just determined to just like complete stuff. And we're still trying to get rid of all of the damage from the hurricane. So right. It's just, I need to like every day just make one phone call to get the roofer there. And, you know, so anyways, mine's about completion, but determination is a really good one. Cause yeah. I think I'm going to have to be determined to complete anything.
I know. So, that's the mantra for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about your new book. So what does it mean to sack up?
Just my father used to use the saying, life is like a game of cards. It's not about the hand you get dealt. It's how you play that hand. So just, you know, follow through and just, you know, go on with life and not do the woe is me attitude, you know?
So, yeah. So tell me about the motivation of the book.
I kept a journal when my son Casey was little. So like a year ago, I decided, you know what, let me reread some of the journal pages because life goes by so fast with kids. They grow up so fast. So I said, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a little self-help book, you know, for other moms going through the same thing. So that's what I did. And I wanted to make it very, like, short, Maria, because moms don't have a lot of time to read a book, let's face it. You're lucky you get to, you know, go into the bathroom right. and shower by yourself, you know? So
what do you think you learned? You know, I think when we're going to become a mom, whether mm-hmm. we're pregnant or through adoption, or right. we have this idea. It's mm-hmm. like when we get married, idea of what it's going to be like. And suddenly when you're handed a child that has special needs, mm-hmm. like what was your big learning?
That you had to let go of all the expectations of what the perfect family meant to you. Because let's face it, there is no perfect family. You know, mm-hmm. You just have to move on. And like I said, you handle the cards that you were dealt and you love the child to death and don't compare your child to anybody else's or, you know, any of their siblings. They are who they are.
You know, I often think that I was handed a gift because I was pregnant and adopted at the same time. And my adopted child came into my life first. Mm-hmm. And when you adopt a child, you really have no expectations because you don't expect that, you know, you don't know the DNA, you don't know the mm-hmm. genetics. And I always thought that that was a gift that made it so much easier for my biological children, because mm-hmm. by the time I had biological children, I had no expectations, you know, whether or not they would be a good runner because I was a good runner or, you know, redhead because I was a redhead, you know?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You just got to embrace them. But kudos to you for adopting also. That's a special gift to
do. Thank you. And when you are going through, you know, dealing with a child with special needs, mm-hmm. I have one as well. And it can be so stressful because sometimes it gets frustrating, you know, even mm-hmm. the most patient person. How do you deal with that?
I think I just had to make the conscious effort to just not sweat the small stuff, you mm-hmm. know, and just take a breath every morning and say, okay, this has to be done. This has to be done. And I didn't let it overwhelm, you know, our family totally. I mean, you just do it. You just, you know, pound the pavement and you just go for the ride. But I had to, for a while. And it's isolating sometimes when you're raising a special needs child. Your friends don't understand if they have children the same age. So the journal helped and just having that mantra in my head, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. So, that's what got me through.
Well, we just have just about another minute and a half. I was just wondering, where can folks go to find the book?
The book you can get on Amazon, and actually part of the proceeds goes to a soup kitchen here in New Jersey. So that's a great thing. And you can find me on unfilteredmom.com. That's my website. So, that's where you can get the book.
Yeah. So give everybody a really quick preview. What do they find on unfilteredmom.com?
They find funny rants about motherhood, totally unfiltered, DIY advice, lifestyle advice. So it's a great, great little website, I think.
It is a really great website, okay. And it's really geared toward moms of kids with all ages, right?
Yep, exactly. Because my kids are, you know, a little older, so, and I actually teach second grade autism. So I got my hands in everything.
You certainly do. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to encourage everyone to check it out, unfilteredmom.com. It's some really good content. And check out the book, too. If you, whether you're a mom that has a special needs child or maybe you know one, it's a really great book, Maternally Challenged, How My Special Needs Son Taught Me to Sack Up and Laugh. Thank you so much, Kathy, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And hope you have a great 2018. I hope you stay determined throughout the whole year. And I hope that you stay with us, because when we return, we're going to go back a couple of weeks and give you some of the most requested show segments that you've asked to be repeated. And I think you're going to really enjoy them again.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
It's so fitting that our next guest, the mom that we've chosen to put the spotlight on, is joining us because just this past weekend, I experienced the wedding of my brother and his new wife, and there were sunflowers everywhere at the reception. It was so beautiful. They had a sunflower wall, and it was just so beautiful. So it's only fitting that we would turn the spotlight on a mom who has a blog, novembersunflower.com. And her name is Stacy Girardi. She's the mother of two, so she's very busy, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. And you can find her on Twitter at NOV Sunflower. So welcome, Stacy, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. So tell me, do you live somewhere where they actually grow sunflowers in November?
No. The reason why I called it November Sunflower is because my children were born in November, almost two years to the day apart. One is on the 8th and one is on the 10th.
Wow. I always think that is so amazing. It makes me wonder what you were celebrating 9 months prior to that date every year. Is it your anniversary or something?
Usually people assume it's Valentine's Day, but it was actually a little bit before Valentine's Day. So.
So you're just one of those spontaneous women, I guess. So tell me about your blog and what we'll find when we go there.
Well, my blog started out as helping people shop online when I first started, when my son was born, and then it morphed into people wanting to know the down and dirty details of every little thing that I bought or traveled to or experienced, because when they went online and saw reviews, all they saw was happy, everything was great, this is the most awesome thing, and then they realized that's not really the whole story. So they started to come to me and ask me, because I would give them the truth. I would give them the good. And I wouldn't say the bad. I would say the not so fabulous parts of every situation. So whether it was a pair of boots or it was a trip to Universal Studios, whatever it was, that's what I told them the truth about. So people kept coming back, and that's what they wanted to know.
So what do you think is the most, I don't know, what do people ask about the most? Like, what do you think the biggest myths are out there?
Travel. They ask a lot about travel, because when you go on those websites, people really don't give – they either give a really horrible story or they give, like, the best story. They don't get any in-between, so they don't get the true essence of what happens at a hotel. So I give what happens, not it was great that it happened or it was bad that it happened. It just happened. So the elevator's slow. So you can either take that as a good thing or a bad thing, but the elevator's slow. You know, if you have a kid that isn't great with elevators, you can kind of tell the kid, you know, either we're not going to stay at this hotel or we're going to stay at another one. Or my mom is recently, you know, she's got to use a wheelchair more often than she used to. And I like to know, is the bathroom on the main floor really accessible? Is, you know, these are the little things that people don't get in those reviews. They just get, oh, my God, someone was rude to me, or, oh, my God, they were the best thing ever. You know, they don't get the actual facts about places. So they really, they come to me a lot with that and want to know, because they know that I'm going to tell them the truth.
Those little things, like, really do matter to you, especially if you're moving kids around. Like, you just want to know, like, because then when you get there, you can request lower floors. Most of the time, it's amazing how they put you on a higher floor thinking it's a luxury, but in reality, come 9 o'clock the next morning, it's a misery, right?
Exactly. Especially when I stay in New York City, like, you would think that all those elevators would be awesome, but if you stay at older places, those elevators sound like they're being pulled by a human being, like, slow, slow, slow.
Right.
Like, I can't do that with two kids. Well, I couldn't with the two young ones, so I pay attention still, but you can't have a slow elevator with kids that either don't like elevators or they're, you know, they want to get to their room because they're potty training and you got to get to the bathroom or whatever. These are little things that people need to know.
So where is your favorite place to travel with your children, particularly while they're 8 and 10? Because that's normally an age where, I don't know, Legoland and some of the go-to places that you would suspect, they start getting bored with them.
They do get bored. I know my daughter isn't as excited about those things. They love, to be honest, even though we're New York people, we still love to go into New York City and spend like an overnight or a long weekend there and just hit everything that we love, you know, the smaller things, or go down to the water and hang out and do the Chelsea Piers thing. But they love going into the city and they love the beach. So those are our two go-to places at this point. We either hit a beach or we go into the city. And it's a beautiful thing because we live on Long Island, so we have beaches everywhere.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting is that there's so many parents that are afraid to take their kids to New York City. So you bring up a good point. If you don't live in New York and you were going to visit New York with your children, what's the must-sees besides the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty?
This is probably one of the best places to bring kids because there's so much to do down there that they're probably used to, like bowling and ice skating, and seeing the big ships is always a big thing if you go down to the Intrepid. But the parks, there are so many smaller parks, not even just Bryant Park, but tiny little neighborhood parks that you kind of just stumble upon when you're walking around a neighborhood. And you don't know that they're there. Even me, who I've been in New York City so many years, it's not even funny, I stumble upon new parks. And you meet the kids in the neighborhoods, and sometimes you make lifelong friends. So to me, it's just those really cool expeditions where you go out and you don't follow the regular subway line, or you go off on your own and you just find all these great little gems.
My favorite is always to go find the Statue of Balto. Thank you so much, Stacy, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have a link to your blog on our site. It's novembersunflower.com. Check it out. You'll definitely see that Stacy has some really great insights, and it's all very authentic and from a mom's perspective. So thank you so much for being with us today. When we return, we have Alan Klein with us. He's the author of Secret Kids Know: What Adults Ought to Learn. Enrich your life by viewing it through the eyes of children.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
So, did you know that our kids have secrets? Alan Klein has written a book titled Secrets Kids Know That Parents Ought to Learn: How We Can Enrich Your Life by Viewing It Through the Eyes of Children. And he is well-versed in appearing on radio and TV. Now he's on Mom Talk Radio. He has an adult daughter who adorably illustrated the book. So it's a collaborative effort. I love it. Father, daughter type of thing. So welcome, Alan, to Mom Talk Radio.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So what kind of secrets do our children hold, or what did you see through the eyes of your child that gave you this perspective?
Well, one of the great things I think kids can teach us about love and compassion and something we really need perhaps in this day and age. And I learned that when I was writing my first book, my daughter was a young teenager, and I'd be writing away. I had a deadline, and she kept annoying me, kept interrupting me like every 10 minutes. And so one day I put this big sign on my door, do not disturb unless it's an emergency. 10 minutes later, a knock on the door. Yes, Sarah, what do you want? I was, you know, totally angry and opened the door. And I said, Sarah, is this an emergency? She said, yes. I said, what's the matter? She said, Dad, I got to tell you I love you.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, here I was writing a book about humor, and she was showing me that I was getting way too serious. So, kids, that was one of the major things I think I learned from my daughter, how to be more loving. More caring, so, more kind.
In your book, you have 18 secrets in the books. Are those some of the favorite ones, or what are your favorites?
Well, one of my favorites, because I totally believe in this, is that the world is abundant. And I think kids can teach us that. You know, for them, the sky's the limit. Dad, why can't I have that? Mom, I want this. Mom, I already have it, but I want six more, you know. And kids could be anything. I know there was one kid, when asked what she wanted to be when she grew up, she said, I want to be a dancer, clown, doctor who drives bulldozers.
There you have it.
It could be anything. It doesn't matter. So loving is one secret. The other is sky's the limit. Ask for what you want. Go after what you want in this world. It's all available.
So you bring up a good point. Sometimes as parents, we kind of, you know, our kids will say, oh, I want to be an actress. And we tend to squash that idea because it doesn't seem practical to us through our adult eyes. But it really could mean, you know, by saying, yeah, go after it. Maybe you're not really saying going after being an actress, but go after whatever it is that makes you happy or that you dream to be, right?
Right, exactly. And I saw that in my own life. I was taken to a Broadway show. We lived in New York City when I was 7 years old, and I wanted to be a scenic designer. I wanted to make those pretty stage pictures. And my parents had kind of no idea. My teachers had no idea what I was talking about. And I actually got kicked out of Yale Drama School. I was told I had no talent. But I went on to CBS, and I designed shows like Captain Kangaroo. You're probably not old enough to remember that.
I am. I got to meet Captain Kangaroo in person. Absolutely.
Oh, great. So Captain Kangaroo, Merv Griffin, Jackie Gleason, you know, I lived my dream. I did what I wanted to do. But my teachers, my parents, you know, my dad wanted to be a doctor. You know, why aren't you studying to be a doctor? What's a scenic designer?
right. A scenic designer. So you use the expression grow down, and we've talked a little bit about that. We only have a minute left. Where can folks find your book? Because it does offer such a good perspective.
Well, the book's all over Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, IndieBound, iTunes, Google Play, Kobo.
It's
everywhere that print and e-books are sold.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We have a link to the book as well. So if you're looking for a good read for the fall when you're trying to decompress from all the craziness that is about to come upon us in the holiday season, you want to pick up a copy of this. And maybe this is a good time to actually refocus and look at the holidays through your child's eyes, because you'll probably see it in a different way and with a whole new appreciation. So pick up the book, and we have a link on Mom Talk Radio. I appreciate all of you guys for listening, and we'll be back next week at this time. I'm Maria Bailey. Have a great week, everyone.